Lynn MacTaggart, Quantum Physics.
Of course, the $64,000 question is, first off, how did you translate what the egghead quantum physics said? I mean, how would you're on a bus somewhere and someone says, so Lynn, I mean, you know, quantum physics, I mean, what's that mean to me? How do you answer what that means to them?
Well, what it means to them is, first of all, we're all connected. I mean, I think the most fundamental thing is we're all connected by an energy field. We swim in a sea of light, basically, which is the zero-point field. And I say, first of all, you have to get away from the whole idea of separateness, because separateness is the biggest problem of the world now. I mean, separateness causes all the wars in the world. It causes the mine is bigger than yours mentality. I have to have more. I don't have enough. I have to grab this for myself type of idea. So you have to rethink your life in terms of being part of a bigger whole. And secondly, you have to also understand that your intention is going to affect your world, and that what you think, your thoughts, your very thoughts, affect everything that's going on in your life. And so you have to think wisely.
Why does quantum physics say that? And give me a light. Well, quantum physics says that because...
Okay. I think there's two really important things here that a lot of people touch on. I'll say that again because you may do it again independently. There's two really important elements here. There's the Copenhagen interpretation basically means that reality is unset jello. That's the way I like to put it. There's this just big indeterminate sledge out there that's our potential life, and and that we, by our very act of involvement, our act of noticing, our observation, we get that jello to set. So we're intrinsic to the whole process of reality. Say that again. We're intrinsic to the whole process of reality. Our involvement creates that reality. Now, the second thing that's really important is the whole idea of non-locality, the idea of action at a distance, which is, I call it till death do us part. And it means if you've got two electrons and you move one to Tokyo and one to San Francisco, they both know about each other through time and space. And if one breaks his leg, if he's skiing in Vail, the other one breaks his leg too, even if he's sipping a latte in Colorado. So there's this constant action, and we're finding non-locality everywhere, in our bodies, in space, from stars, in regions of the zero-point field. Everything is connected. And so we have this involvement in everything. We are our world. There's no out there. We are, there's no place where we end and everything else begins. We're all connected. And we also have this involvement in creating our reality.
So when you say that we're all connected and we don't really end, we're all, what is the scientific basis for that? You know, specifically, because that sounds like, a mystic from the enlightened spheres of the Brahma Loka speaking. I mean, but now you're saying it in scientific. What's the scientific?
Okay, this is going to take a long time to try to answer. There are, first of all, there's demonstrations from the work of Fritz Albert Popp that we are beings of light, that we are sending out and receiving small photons, small particles of light. We're sending and receiving photons all the time. Those are small particles of light. And that we're beaming all the time. New research is demonstrating that this is coming out of our very DNA, that this is controlling all the processes of the body, but it's also sending and receiving outside of ourselves. We also know that our communication between ourselves occurs in frequencies. This is other work that a French scientist did, demonstrating that our cells talk to each other not simply through chemicals, but in a lower nether region through frequency. We also know that there is this ground state energy called the zero-point field, which is many scientists believe, now people have lots of different names for it, the vacuum, the strict constructionists call it the vacuum, the loose constructionists call it the zero-point field. And I like the zero-point field because it speaks to us. It's a good metaphor, and it's an easier one to digest, I think, than many of the other kinds of metaphors for this lower ground state energy. But it's a very important aspect of energy because governments like, you know, organizations like NASA, British Aerospace, are all trying to tap into this incredible, unimaginably large energy sea. And they feel if they can tap this, we can travel to different galaxies. So they understand that in empty space, there is this unbelievable energy. But we are doing a little energy dance all the time, not only with the photons that we're sending and receiving, but we, you know, our bodies are made up of the same stuff as everything else, as this chair, as the tables, as everything that we look at. We all derive down to a set of subatomic particles. And particles aren't just little billiard balls that swirl around a nuclei like we're taught in physics. They're little packets of vibrating energy, and they're constantly passing energy back and forth like a little medicine ball. So what's going on is a little tango between our electrons and the electrons of the zero-point field all the time. So we're sending and receiving, we're getting information back and forth. And remember, waves are units of information. They're constantly when they interfere, they're constantly absorbing more information. Many scientists have come up with information, like with magnetic resonance imaging, demonstrating that these waves have actual, they're little holograms of information that can be regenerated, that have a history of information about the structures they come from. So we're talking about a sea of not only unfathomably large energy, but a memory bank of everything that ever was just out there in empty space.